Welcome to the Search of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guests today are Isabel Díaz-Rial from the Complutense University of Madrid and José Antonio Belso Martínez from University Miguel Hernández. They both published an article entitled Regional Emergency Networks, How Organizations Shape Technological Collaborations Under Extreme Conditions. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Isabel, José, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Ethan. Thanks for the invitation.
It's nice to meet you.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Okay, thank you, Ethan. I would like to thank the opportunity for presenting our results from Entrepreneurship and Regional Development. It has been a great pleasure, all the process, and now to do a podcast is wonderful. Dealing with your question, when we were during the COVID, we began observing that there were like many interactions with companies. It was like something that previous the COVID, there were the normal agreement, but suddenly, like many companies began offering products, ideas, any help that could be useful for the situation. And since our research deals precisely with developing relationship, what we call network between companies and institutions, we began thinking, okay, here there is a potential paper or at least a research. How are these companies doing this agreement? How are these companies dealing with exchanging this process and products in this context? So my colleague, José Antonio, he began to recover all the information he could get from newspapers and other regional news. So he began just to take notice of what was going on in a community, in the Valencia community, to take all the information dealing with that. And what we observed after this process, and once the COVID passed and we began reading these documents and converting these documents in data for analysis, we observed that this kind of networks were different from the, let's say, normal ones. That in extreme conditions, companies tend to develop networks that at this point of their research, we did not know how they were working, but we were for sure that they were different. And secondly, what we observed, it was like, this is not a very, very extreme situation. We began to think that that being in a COVID make companies to face extreme situations, and that these extreme situations were similar to others. We can see now with artificial intelligence, with the war of Ukraine, whatever we can think. It's like we said, okay, here there is a paper because this is a novel thing that we do not have an answer. And secondly, this is useful not only for the COVID events, but also for many others because we are in an increasingly dynamic environment. And with that, my colleague, José Antonio.
This is not a really novel concept. Various events like natural disasters, economic crises, and terrorism has historically requested cooperative and localized responses by public administration and specialized units. The current landscape, exemplified by issues like artificial intelligence, as Isabel said, is evolving rapidly and compelling organizations to develop both internal and external structures to effectively navigate these challenges. Existing literature, albeit more focused on outside management studies, has provided compelling evidence of magnitude, multiple actors across sectors under high pressure conditions, just as in organizational management, public administrations, must forget cooperative relationships that strike a balance between adaptability to unforeseen circumstances and establishing structures that offer some predictability in response. Therefore, our research project aims to explore how networks are formed under intense pressure situations, under really, really, really different and radically extreme situation, as we seek to understand the dynamics of collaborations in times of crisis. We recap data in the Valencia region, as Isabel mentioned before, during early stages of the pandemic crisis. To do so, all regional and local papers and magazines were constantly reviewed to identify both formal and informal technological cooperation agreements. Data were organized in a relational matrix to apply social network analysis. Panels were characterized using different sources like web pages, business association information, technological institutes, data records, or universities.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
Okay, I would say that the first one, what we aim to do is to understand how to develop innovative networks in highly dynamic environments. So I think that our main contribution deals with that. We have been studying network for years. So we said, how conventional approaches to networks can be applied to this dynamic context. So it's not a matter of intensity. It's not like, for example, developing trust, being more trustful. It's not what we were thinking. This is a real change in how to build these innovative networks. So we began to reconsider all the theoretical perspective. It's not that we have reconsidered. We have tried to rethink the traditional perspective to adapt them to this dynamic environment. For example, a key variable, a key element in any network to be successful is trust. If you read cooperation literature, resilience, whatever literature about relationship between companies, you find trust. Trust, long-lasting relationship, enduring relationship. So we said, how can you develop trust when you do not have time? Because you are in a really adverse situation. You have to respond to the requirement in for tomorrow. You do not have time to develop this trust. So what can be a good substitute? And what we observe is what in networks it's called triadic cluster. What is that? That is that since you do not have trustworthy relationship with your partner, you can choose your partner based on your previous friends. It's like friends of your friends. You do not have a stable relationship with a partner, but what you already have is other partners that previously you have developed this trustworthy relationship. As a consequence, I need something, you call a colleague and the colleague recommend you someone. This is triadic cluster. And we observed that this was really, really a relevant aspect in developing these networks. And like this, we reconsider the three main dimensions of any networks. Networks literature following social networks and also social capital literature tends to find three main dimensions for explaining innovation. This is the relational one, trustworthy relationship, as I said, but also a structural one, how many relations do you have? This is called centrality, and we're going to speak about it later. And the third one is cognitive. To what point you look for partners that are similar to you in terms of ideas, in terms of experience, etc. So these are our main contribution to reconsider existing literature on networks and we have tried to adapt it to new dynamics, to this highly changeable environment.
As Isabel said, one of the key issues in our paper was the question of creating trust between organizations that have never collaborated before. What we found is that many of the institutions, firms, or research centers have never collaborated in developing new technologies that should be developed really or extremely quickly. So they don't have any trustful relationship between them. They don't know each other. They don't know a fluent dialogue, transferring knowledge. So what we thought, well, we paid special attention on how what mechanisms can be good substitutes for that sort of trustful atmosphere. So in essence, our aim is to enhance the existing research or internal or organizational relationships by integrating insights from emerging management perspectives, which were radically different of what we have been using during all our cluster or technology previous research. So we build upon prior studies on network resilience and traditional interorganizational relationships. And we introduced 5 propositions that outline how networks evolve under these extreme conditions, which are extremely different of what we have been previously observed in traditional networks. We propose specific types of interorganizational networks that can provide organization with essential resources during crisis, embeddedness and relational resources, leadership and structural resources, and partnership diversity focusing on cognitive resources.
What else for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Okay. Undertaking a research always is a challenge. But first, I would say that the first one was theoretical. Our research is inductive. So when we had this data and we began to evaluate it, we said, okay, which theory can we use or how we can build theory based on this data? And we realized that there were many different theories that could match with the data. And they are not really different. They are not based on radical different assumptions. But it was like theories of resilience literature that is quite recent. I mean, has been recently been used in papers of management. Also more traditional literature about cooperation, the social network perspective that we have spoken already. So it was a really challenge to integrate these different theoretical approaches into one. Finally, we reached like 3 main dimensions that in fact they all agree in that point, but it was really difficult to reconsider, to question existing theory to build on data. So I think that was the first major challenge, at least in the theoretical aspect.
On the empirical front, our challenge involved a comprehensive 360 degrees evaluation using 3 different levels of analysis. The organizational level, considering the main characteristics of the organization, the dyadic level, considering the characteristics of the relationship between 2 organizations, let's say a firm with a university with a research center, etc., and the whole network, the analysis of the whole network. This provides us with a holistic approach that could be the ideal approach to evaluate the situation. From the organizational level, we use or take in consideration variables such as location characteristics in terms of rurality or innovation, to structural network aspects like centrality or transitivity, which are concepts that Isabel has already introduced in the discussions. Passing through, particularly interesting is in our case was the role of centrality effect, measuring that new connections are more likely to be formed with already well-connected nodes. Or the homophily effect, individuals, or in this case, organizations, are more likely to form connections with others who are similar. And of course, the transitivity effect, which is the mechanism through which firms or institutions are building trust between them in contexts where there were no relationship prior to the pandemic crisis. Let's say transitivity effect is the mechanism through which a friend of a friend tends to be our friend, a friend.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
As I already mentioned, the revelation of centrality role within the network was indeed surprising to us. Central organizations usually have a lot of connections and usually are seen as the ideal partners for efficient information and experience exchange. The logic behind this notion is straightforward. By engaging with a central organization, managers or technologists can streamline communication and access wealth of resources from various sources through a single point of contact, saving time and effort, especially in rapidly changing scenarios where time is crucial.
Yeah, our finding, I mean, following what José Antonio mentioned, it was like if you're in a crisis, who will be your partner? I would say the leader. Follow the leader. Follow the person who is very central, who has a lot of connections. And what we observed was the opposite. Not really the opposite, but it wasn't an isolated isolated company. But it was like a company that was not so central. And say, okay, what's the point? Doesn't make any sense. So we began to read literature about emergency management, where they have a lot of practice, you know, in natural disasters and things like that. And we observed that they also choose for decentralized organizations. Decentralized, we mean that being choosing as partners those that are not so central. Because what is the explanation for that? It's like when you are central, you have too much information, too many connections to make. And in context of extreme dynamic change, you do not have time to deal with all these different sources of information, to deal with all different partners. So it's better you have a few partners, but you can deal with information you need to process. So this is what is called, contrary to a heterarchical organizations, and it has been really useful. So let's say that rather than choosing the leader, you should choose companies that have connections, but not too many that they get collapsed. You know what I mean? That's what our main, the most counterintuitive result we have observed.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
Okay, I think for managers, we have found some implications that we guess they can be useful. As we have said, in dynamic environments, managers cannot develop their relationship, their partnership, as in traditional context. So we would say that it's quite important to prioritize, to develop relationship with proximate, with near partners. What we mean by that? It seems strange because when we are in the era of artificial intelligence where your doctor can be thousands of kilometers away from you, suddenly we say proximity matters. So we say that proximity matters, and developing relationship in in this aspect is really important. And also, it's important to build relationship before the crisis, because once you are in the crisis, you do not have time to build this relationship. So we will say, like a recommendation, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely, because these friends and friends of your friends, they are going to be your partners in a really problematic environment. So now you are in a calm situation, try to develop trustworthy relationship, know your partners, choose them in proximity, so you are prepared for the dynamic context. Moreover, also we recommend, following with this counterintuitive result we have mentioned, we will recommend to choose partners that are not so central. They are not so important. Choose those that have connections, but not too many, because you want him to have time to be with you and to process the information you are providing to him and otherwise.
I guess that we have really, really, really interesting findings and recommendations from a policy perspective. Indeed, our research provided, which is of exploratory nature, provided interesting proposition that should be deeply considered by policymakers. Our findings basically underscore the importance of local governance in fostering the development of emergency networks in collaborations with private firms. Policy makers, in this case, are urged to facilitate and coordinate local responses to critical events, acting as enablers of polycentric networks of actors to enhance resilience capacity. Identifying those key actors and collaborative drivers will aid policymakers in mobilizing resources effectively and orchestrating responses tailored to a specific territorial context. This strategic approach will be instrumental in planning and optimizing response networks during emergencies.
Thanks a lot, Isabel and Jose Antonio, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Regional Emergency Networks, How Organizations Shape Technological Collaborations Under Extreme Conditions. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.